You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If an auto or motorcycle accident has caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO, Elk and Elk. Proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and the Dog Bowl in Berea. I think there's a piece of this again. Josh McCown, we want to get your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Tweets are flying in right now. People are definitely fired up about this. Let me say this, because this is at Tim Mac. Tim O'Mac tweeter said, to me, it's a move to give Johnny a chance, which is ridiculous. Bring in the best, and whoever wins the job plays. When you draft a quarterback in the first round, and you've seen him for six quarters, doing something that could help him succeed down the road does not seem ridiculous to me. It seems like, again, ultimately the best path for this Browns team to success is to have Johnny Manziel be worthy of that. I'm not saying signing Josh McCown to me says they're probably going to bring in another quarterback who can be there. Maybe they'll draft somebody like a Bryce Petty, a Todd Hundley, a Garrett Grayson in this draft, or maybe make a move somewhere else. But it doesn't say to me that they're done at the quarterback position. And by the way, getting somebody who you think can help Johnny Manziel is not a bad thing.
That's a great point. And again, how do we know? And again, to go back to the keyword that you talked about, Josh McCown is part of the solution. How do we know how many parts are in the solution? You know, and again, how do we know that we might not go out and get another veteran quarterback that Browns fans or national media analysts might feel is the best option out there? We don't know that. You know, all we have to do is take that we've added value at that position, someone who's played a lot of football in the National Football League, who's had a very, very good season when protected and a very, very bad season when not protected, okay? We hope that in playing behind Alex Mack and those five starters on the offensive line back intact, seeing them play the way they did the first half of the football season with a healthy Alex Mack, that Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, or someone else can do enough for the Cleveland Browns to compete on a week-in, week-out basis in the National Football League. That's what matters.
That's what matters. And also, there are things that are just more than meets the eye, apparently. To me, when they talk about play like a Brown, there's something about the teammate, being a good teammate, the cohesiveness, the fact that everybody's working towards a common goal. And if there isn't some of that, I think it ends up ultimately being hurtful for the team. And I think they're trying to eliminate any scenarios for that with a guy like Josh McCown, who, again, he can come in and spot start. If you agree that the Browns have a very good defense, which I appreciate, which I think that they do, you've got a very good offensive line. You have ability to run the football. What Brian Hoyer showed last year, if he showed anything, it is that with mediocre quarterback play, this team could be successful. Josh McCown is definitely capable of giving you mediocre quarterback play in the short term. Your long-term goal remains the same, to bring in somebody, whether that be Johnny Manziel, whether it be somebody that's drafted or traded for, to bring in somebody that can be significantly above average, to get good quarterback play over a long period of time. You just weren't going to get that with Brian Hoyer. You're not going to get that with Josh McCown either.
Right.
But you need to find the guy who is going to be the one that gives that to you. And I know people just like to point out, Josh McCown was 1-10 last year. He was in a difficult situation. Their offensive coordinator left before the season, bad offensive line. Did he have great talent out wide, Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans? Of course he did. Was he proud of the way that he played last year? No, he was not. But Josh McCown, again, is somebody that I feel confident in saying can come in. And I know people, well, that's not exciting. This isn't supposed to be that signing where you're like, we've got our franchise quarterback. That's not what this is supposed to be. So if you look at it through that lens, I think you're missing the bigger picture. The Browns signed a guy that can spot start for them at a price commensurate with somebody who could spot start for them, and somebody who they feel is going to be a better fit for their locker room in terms of helping and developing young quarterback, which the Browns are going to need to do if they ever get where they want. So now you've got Kevin O'Connell solely dedicated to helping these quarterbacks. You got John DeFilippo, who was a quarterback's coach in Oakland, who can help develop these quarterbacks, did a good job with Derek Carr last year. And you've got now, in Josh McCown, someone who's at least played the game that can help say, listen, I've seen this. Maybe he wasn't able to execute it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't help somebody who has more talent than him understand how to play the game.
Sure, and I think what this is also, too, is this is the Cleveland Browns as an organization seeing value in someone else that could play a role, the proper role for this football team, to help them continue to trend upward as opposed to get over the drama between whatever Brian Hoyer and his agent and any dislike that he might have with who's running the organization or who has that for him. All those feelings have to go out the window. Or the fact that Brian is from Cleveland and that story was great while it lasted, but now the Cleveland Browns have to make an organizational choice to move forward at what is the best option. So it's he had his time. It was great while it lasted. It is over in most cases. And now we're on to the next. And in some cases, it's great that this and like I said, that's Cleveland's story for Brian Hoyer was great. You know, but the way in which he played towards the end of the season was enough for people to see that in the face of adversity, when the going got tough and you play quality opponents, what you were going to get. And that is not something that you throw, you know, $3 to $5 million or 3 to 5 year contract at for $25 to $35 million. I'm not good with that.
Not good with that either. Not good with that at all. Let's go to the phones, 216-578-0850. Johnny B. in Pittsburgh, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, God bless you, man. You are saying everything that I've been thinking. Listen, you cannot trade insane draft picks for this kid. We were that good last year. We're in the toughest division. We have one of the best offensive lines. Our defense is good, not against the run. We were eighth overall last year against the pass, 224 yards per game.
Yep.
And you cannot – we need these picks to help this team. To get a defensive tackle, a wide receiver, even T.J. Clemens, he's an incredible offensive lineman. I mean, we're that close, and it just seems insane that these that some of the people in the media are, you've got to trade for Mary. You can't do that. We
no.
are so close, and like you just said – Hoyer, I understand, you know, he's a local boy. That's the love for him. But imagine what McCown would have done with that team last year instead of Hoyer.
I mean,
I just think.
Right.
Go ahead.
To me, at the very least, you're saying you're getting similar performance on the field. You're getting, it sounds to me, by all accounts, you're going to get better performance off of the field. With Josh McCown, you're getting a guy who's bigger, by the way.
Yes.
Who's stronger, who's more mobile, and has a better arm. I mean, those are just intangibles about playing the quarterback position that are facts.
Right.
Accuracy, people are knocking him for not completing 60% of his passes. We know what the accuracy numbers said for Brian Hoyer. Not good. So you're looking at somebody who has shown at least that for a period of time that he can play at a level that you never saw Brian Hoyer play at. You know, have somebody who's in here who is totally comfortable in his role. I think that was part of it last year. There was not a comfort in the defined roles, and I think you have somebody who, you know, was when the pressure got ratcheted up about the roles, did not respond to that as well as you would have liked to have seen.
And you think, is the season open last year, and everybody, and if you're not saying this, you're lying to yourself, that everybody knew once Brian Hoyer got named a starter, that the first incompletion, the first interception, the first, you know, bad series or consecutive series that Brian Hoyer had as a starter with Johnny Manziel behind him, that first Energy Stadium was going to start chanting, "We want Johnny." You know, it's simply you're asking for his backup. That wears on the psyche of a player. I don't care how strong you are, mentally, physically, emotionally, that wears on you that your fans, the team that he wants to play for, are rooting for your backup, simply forcing you to have to play perfect. And that's what Brian Hoyer had to deal with, which is very difficult. And in some cases, he succumbed to the pressure, and at times he rose above. But end all was he succumbed to that pressure at the end of the season. And I think we saw, you know, who Brian Hoyer really was.
Let's go to Mike in Cleveland. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I give you guys credit. You're doing a very good job of polishing a turd there. You're just talking about a guy who's 17-32, I think, in his career.
And I would say, go ahead.
I was going to say, if he's that great of a mentor and great locker room guy and how awesome, he just led a team to the number one pick who's going to take Jameis Winston, who has off-field issues. Why would they cut him if he's the best guy to – I mean, there's nothing that the
because in there,
you.
If you're just looking at it from a team building standpoint, there's no reason to carry three quarterbacks where you would carry Winston, pay still be at $5 million on McCown, and have Glennon. Glennon has proven, if anything, he certainly is a guy who can start for you and is a competent backup. I wanted Glennon here. Don't forget, he's on his rookie deal. He's in the third He's in the third year of his rookie deal, so he's not even making, you know, much more than $1 million. I think it's like 1.5 at
most. I'm going to pass you the Windex to continue to polish.
Yeah, and it's not polishing a turn. I think when people are looking at this, if you're looking at me to come out and say that McCown is the guy, I'm not saying that. And a question, Spock FU says, how would you say that he is better than Schaub, Ponder, or Foles? He's definitely better than Matt Schaub, and he doesn't cost $10 million, which is what Schaub got from the Raiders and ended up being useless. Christian Ponder has struggled. Is he somebody that you could kick the tires on? Maybe. Nick Foles would require a trade. McCown is, I would much rather have a guy like Nick Foles than McCown, but he's under contract to another team and require a trade, and perhaps that's something that's still in the works.
I was just going to say,
that's
not completely out of play.
I don't think any
of that
is out
of
play. I don't think any of that is out of play at all when it comes to Josh McCown. Let's go. And again, it's not shining a turd. Remember, Josh McCown is a guy who's a backup bridge-starting quarterback being paid as a backup bridge-starting quarterback on a one-year deal, just over $6 million guaranteed. That's all he's getting from the Browns.
And how do we know that the Cleveland Browns, you know, have a plan to go all in and do whatever they have to do to go get their guy, whether it be via draft or via trade? We don't know that because Josh McCown is just a part of that quarterback room.
Yes.
You know, there are parts that are, in some cases, there are parts that can be added, or he might be a bigger part than we see. But we're speculating about it right now, and we're going off of everything that we've been given thus far, is that Josh McCown to us is the moving past the Brian Hoyer era to allow him to go get free agency, because as Brian said, he wants to compete to be a starter, and in his case, because he's 29 years old, he wants to do that for the next 5 to 7 years. And in this case, I don't think the Cleveland Browns, with Ray Farmer at the helm, was willing to go that route. And we saw he wanted to go otherwise.
Let's go now to Stuart in Akron. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes,
sir. Yes, we can.
Okay, because I was online. Listen, I went online here and I was checking some things. I don't know what y'all talking about. We're going to remove the emotion. You got a computer there in front of you. Go on your computer. Brian Hoyer is the winningest quarterback in the last 10 years that we've had. Eliminate the emotion.
Yes.
When they set him down, we were in tie for first place when they set him down. I hear y'all constantly saying, let's give Johnny more than 6 quarters. Connor Shaw played on the practice squad and came in and scored a touchdown. In 6 quarters, Johnny Manziel couldn't get a first down. So in the face of adversity.
Well, that's not totally true, but okay.
No, the first down came through penalties. I was rooting for him.
Well, he did lead a touchdown drive against Buffalo.
Yeah, and that was against their second string. When the starter came in, the next play, if you remember, he fumbled. What I'm saying is when he was the starter, he did not get a first down by himself.
He did not play well. I'm not suggesting that Johnny Manziel is the answer.
I'm saying Brian Hoyer has played well.
Brian Hoyer, again, and everybody knows, I would say at this point, my opinion on Brian Hoyer, I think he is a very solid upper-level backup quarterback in the NFL who can start and showed that he was effective. I think if you were to go back and honestly watch the tape and just assess the quarterback play in isolation and not look at the record and look at that, I think you would have a different perspective. Yes, he is the winningest quarterback with the Browns, but obviously the team and people who are professionals didn't feel that he was the guy, and it'll be very interesting to see how he does on the open market. I think that will tell you a lot more. You don't need to listen to me. You can have your own opinions about that. What does Brian Hoyer command on the open market? Is he a starting quarterback, et cetera? I wish the guy nothing but the best. I think that obviously he struggled with accuracy. He struggled, of course, with other things, you know, no play action, under pressure. We talked about the stats ad nauseum. When you're looking at Brian Hoyer and Josh McCown, I'm not coming here and saying Josh McCown is a bazillion times better than Brian Hoyer. I think for what the Browns are trying to do as a whole at the quarterback position, they feel Josh McCown is as good a starter, if not a better starter, than Brian Hoyer, and he is going to be better in the quarterback room. I think that that is a part of this that is important, and it's not like they broke the bank for him. It's not like they're saying that he's the savior. I think people are looking at this signing where the Browns signed a quarterback and saying, oh, they're saying that this guy is the savior.
The end all.
I don't think anybody is saying that. I think it's just another piece in the puzzle for what the Browns are trying to do. Don in Akron, welcome to the show. Let's go to Bruce in Cleveland. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man.
Hey, listen, the more I've been thinking about it today after hearing everything, last week we were talking about getting a quarterback, which was who? Sam Bradford.
Right.
Now, what if we had this scenario? I mean, the best-case scenario for any club in the NFL right now would be have 3 quarterbacks on your team, a starter, a solid backup, and a potential starter down the road. So we could have, you know, maybe they're signing McCown and they are going to make this move for Bradford because he gets hurt. I mean, you wouldn't. He'd be the best option for a backup because Hoyer isn't going to stay to do that, you know, when it comes to the age-wise. And then you can still just give Johnny a year or two, and you know what I mean? You never know. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, I certainly think it's possible that they could bring in another quarterback who is somebody that's a veteran, whether it be a Bradford, whether they trade for a Foles or something. I do think that's possible. I think the interesting thing to me in all of this, as I just sit here and just try to be, you know, just think about it out large, nobody even seems to give any credence to the fact that you can get anything from a guy like Johnny Manziel. I think Josh McCown is going, people are saying, but he's not going to drive competition if he's happy being a mentor. I don't believe that at all. I believe that, in fact, he will drive competition. He is going to be a guy that is happy to start, but at the same time, there's a way to compete that might be healthier for an organization. And I think that's the piece of it that people are not necessarily totally getting their heads around at this juncture.
Right. I completely agree. There's a point where when you take on a new venture, which Josh McCown has here in choosing Cleveland over the four other places that he could have went, he liked the upside associated with the Cleveland Browns so much so that his role in some cases has been defined. And that's something that I've always been talking about when it comes to the Cleveland Browns is communication with the players in that locker room about their role. And the one thing that we know for sure is that with Johnny Manziel under contract and a potential of Brian Hoyer coming back under contract, there would be that constant unsure about their role or that constant looking over the shoulder for both. You know, and I don't think we get that. We alleviate that because Josh McCown welcomes the opportunity to compete here. And if he loses out, he's going to have a smile on his face knowing that I got beat out by a guy that deserves to play, and I'll be his cheerleader and mentor and be a Brown on the sideline. But when my time comes, I'll go out and be a killer too.
And I'll go out there and I'll get it done. I got another polishing a turd. Josh McCown is a 35-year-old guy who can come in and start for me. He's shown one real good stretch in Chicago 2 years ago. But other than that, this is not, again, we're not talking about the Browns signing Tom Brady here. And also, I wonder if Josh McCown could be a prelude if, say, Jay Cutler gets cut. They work very well together in Chicago. Could that be something to help with that? I'm not sure. I just don't think the Browns are done completely at the quarterback position. I also think that Josh McCown is being brought here as much for what he can do on the field as well as off of the field. And I think that it's overall about the health and the culture for this team and in that quarterback room, because you are going to have to, before you can get the long-term answer, you're going to have to develop a young guy. And right now they obviously feel that Josh McCown is more committed to that aspect of his job as a bridge starting quarterback than maybe some of the other people out there. And I think it's just that simple. It's not like they broke the bank. It's not like they have gone and paid this guy $10 million a year and have anointed him the starter. They haven't said that at all. In fact, when you talk about driving competition, they haven't said Josh McCown's coming in the starter. When I asked Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine about it, is there a viable option out there that you see could come in and have no competition for the starting job? And they both said no. Now, I am yearning for the day that the Browns go into training camp with their starting quarterback with no competition, where it's somebody who's been the starter and will be the starter for years and years, yearning for that day. I know Josh McCown's not that guy. I think that's why I'm a little bit more okay with the signing than people who are looking for them to say that, oh, we signed Josh McCown, he's got to be this major guy. That's not what they are saying here. When we come back, more phone calls. You guys are fired up. 216-578-0850.
Bring it!
More tweets as well. No more polishing turd tweets. No more polishing turd tweets. Let's talk about that when we come back. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.